Nashville is naturally thought of as the home of country music, but a new exhibit that opened last week at the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum shows off its significant blues, rhythm and blues, and soul presence. The Hall of Fame has released a double CD called Night Train to Nashville to go along with the exhibition. Rock historian Ed Ward has a review.
Everyone knows Nashville as Music City, USA, but nearly everybody thinks that refers to only one kind of music. But it's a city with a lot of recording studios and a lot of studio musicians, neither of which like to be idle for long. And it's also got a large African-American population. So after World War II, a Nashville man named Jim Bullitt joined the crowd of entrepreneurs setting up little record labels. He recorded anyone he could get his hands on, including B.B. King, Rufus Thomas, and Cecil Gant, a Nashville blues man who'd had a huge hit while he was still a private in the Army during the war.
Used to be young and handsome. Ain't it a doggone shame? A woman took all my money and left me standing in the rain. Nashville really jumping. Jumping all night long. I'd rather be in Nashville.
There was talent everywhere in Nashville, even in the prisons.
Just walking in the rain, getting soaking wet, torture in my arms. Just walking in the rain.
The prisoners were housed in Tennessee State Penitentiary, where lead singer Johnny Bragg was doing time. They drove with a trusty guard to Memphis to record Walking in the Rain for a new label called Sun, giving it its first regional hit. Bragg was eventually released from prison and went on to help another new label, Nashville-based Excello, have its first top 10 R&B hit with his group, The Marigolds.
Rolling Stone.
I'm a big and rolling stone.
Rolling Stone, just rolling stone. Rolling Stone, just rolling stone. Rolling Stone, just rolling stone. One day you'll be all alone.
Another Nashvillian who appeared in the mid-50s went on to become familiar to American music fans, whether they knew it or not. He was still an unknown college student, though, when he recorded this.
I was standing on the corner on 6th of May when the police came up and they took me by the hand.
Well, he led me down to the Davidson County Jail, and I'm looking for Christine to come and go my bail. Christine, Christine, oh, Christine. Baby,
someone with very good ears might have figured out that the alto sax intro there was by Hank Crawford, who became bandleader for Ray Charles, who I have to say sings better than Hank. One way a lot of black Nashville music got exposed was via a radio station heard all over the Midwest, WLAC, where DJs like Bill Hoss Allen and John R. Richburg played a lot of the local hits and occasionally turned them into national hits.
Set you free, go with him. Go with him.
Arthur Alexander moved to Nashville to be near his label, and his country-tinged singing proved popular not only in the U.S., but in Britain, where he was an idol to the Beatles and many others. Even as the soul era turned the spotlight over to Memphis, Nashville kept on going. Bobby Hebb recorded his smash Sonny there. Joe Tex recorded practically everything he ever cut there. And Joe Simon's The Chokin' Kind actually features a pedal steel guitar way down in the mix. Sometimes the backing band was all country musicians moonlighting. Jerry Kennedy's electric sitar and Peggy Scott and JoJo Benson's Soul Shake, and the other players read like the session list of any A-Team country recording from 1969. At this point, though, regional popular music scenes all over America started to wane, and Black Nashville was no exception. Still, there's 35 years worth of great stuff available on record, and shouldn't Music City mean everybody's music?
Ed Ward lives in Berlin. He reviewed Night Train to Nashville, produced by the Country Music Hall of Fame.